الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Everybody in this world is looking for success. What happens in life is that people will find a domain where they want to apply themselves, and then they seek the ultimate success in that domain. Everybody knows that today is the Super Bowl. And essentially, what is the Super Bowl? The Super Bowl is like a expression of success. It is a group of individuals, in this case, a group of athletes. These athletes devote their lives to being able to perform at a certain level. And the ultimate success in that domain, they call that the Super Bowl. So essentially, it's a mechanism by which they can compete with one another at that very, very high standard in order to determine who is actually the best. In this case, they call that success. But success, it exists everywhere. You see that an individual goes to school, works hard, wants to get an A. It's a type of success. You see that somebody wants to achieve a certain goal professionally, so they apply themselves in order to complete a degree in law or chemistry or medicine or computer science. And when they achieve that, we deem that to be a certain degree of success. Sure, we call that graduation, but really graduation equates with success, correct? It's not graduation that's important, it's the fact that they succeeded. You know, you say to this person, congratulations, you did all the work and met all the requirements that allow you to be able to be certified in a particular domain. So we call that success. Human beings are always seeking success. And if a person is not seeking success, then they stagnate. Now, subhanAllah, these are the opportunities for success in this life, and of course, we approach them as opportunities and we try to leverage them and take advantage of them. But for the Muslim, we see that although these are minor victories, the ultimate success is the success of the hereafter. The ultimate success is the success of the hereafter. And in Arabic, we call that success falah. We call that success falah. Falah, if you wanted to translate it, one way to translate it, would be to say that success after which there can never be failure. Now, somebody's going to win the Super Bowl tonight. I don't know. People always ask who's going to win, but I don't know. But somebody's going to win. But I can also guarantee you that the next year somebody different will win, probably. Or even if it's the same group of people, the year after that, it won't be the same. Meaning, that's a success, but there's no ultimate success there. It's not a permanent success. It's a temporary success. You achieve this goal, you've met it, and then it eventually passes you. Somebody achieves a degree in life. They don't just retire, go off in a corner somewhere and say, I'm done, I got my degree. No, that's actually the minor success, and now you've got a whole lifetime of a career ahead of you. And there's going to be so many challenges that are going to face you. If somebody develops a disease, they go to a doctor and the doctor says, okay, here's your prescription, here's your cure, and they even get cured. Pretend it's a severe disease and they get cured. We, as physicians, I'm speaking we say, oh, that was a success. They had a complete response. Complete response is a success. But in the end, the reality is, that no matter what success the physician has, no matter what success the athlete has, no matter what success the professional has, time will catch them. Time will catch them. Because even after a successful treatment, there will be a new disease in that individual. Even after a successful world championship, you will have to hang up your cleats. Even after a successful profession, you will have to retire. That is not ultimate final success. These are all temporary success. Ultimate final success is that success after which there can never, ever be failure. And that success is the success of Jannah, where a person enters into Jannah and knows that they will be there permanently and that there will never again come upon them a difficulty. Now, that's a really big deal if you think about it for a minute, because no matter what success I earn in this life, you cannot guarantee me that there won't be difficulty after it. There will be. Life brings difficulties. And the ultimate of difficulty, which is time, will bring death. So there is no permanent success in this world. There are successes that we work for. I don't want to be nihilistic. And I'm not trying to say that we should be nihilistic. There are successes that we aim and work for, and we should. Our deen encourages them. But I also want us to always keep in perspective that the ultimate success, the only final success, the falah, it lies in a person earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and entering into Jannah. In Jannah, there will never be a failure after that success. There will never be another illness that will come upon you. There will never be another toil or struggle that will come upon you. There will never be another challenge that will rise before you. That is the beauty of Jannah. That is the beauty of Jannah. And in fact, we know that even the one eraser of all success, which is essentially time, time and its ultimate manifestation for us is death. Even the one eraser of all success, which is time and death, that also will be sacrificed when people go into Jannah. You know the famous narration in which, you know, time itself will be sacrificed and people will rejoice. The people of Jannah will rejoice because they'll know that now there really is no opportunity for them to ever fail. So we, of course, like I said, we aim to do the best that we can in every single opportunity provided, but we recognize that those are just mere battles to an ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to win the war, which is the war of the final success, the falah. So this is what all of us in this room have to aim for. Now, how do you achieve that? SubhanAllah, there's no self-help book out there. A lot of people can give you advice on how to achieve a professional goal. People can give advice on how to achieve an athletic goal. People can give advice on how to achieve an educational goal, a career goal, a personal goal, a relationship goal. But there is no self-help book out there which tells you how to achieve falah. Meaning people can't come up with that. People cannot decide what that's going to be. Instead, the means of achieving falah is predicated upon the Qur'an and the Sunnah. So we're bound there. And in particular, to achieve success, a person has to purify themselves. They have to remember Allah in all circumstances. And they need to elevate their prayer. These three things can lead to success. Now, I'm giving you these three because I'm just referencing the Quran. So I'm giving you one just example that the Quran references. So I'm just basically, you know, sharing that with you. For example, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. It's a very powerful statement from the Quran. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. So right there you pause. Qad, verily. It's a mechanism of emphasis. Aflaha, to achieve falah, to succeed. So now you've got an emphatic stamp upon ultimate success. So right there, you know, the ears should rise, the antennae should be up, and every believer should be absolutely focused on what's coming next. Because we're being told, verily, the ultimate success that you're aiming for, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى, is achieved by the one who attains tazkiyah. And for those of you who were here yesterday, and anyway, not even yesterday, I often mention this concept. This concept of tazkiyah is so essential to our deen. Tazkiyah basically means purification. It's much deeper than that, but in its summation, it means purification which leads to growth. So the one who's going to achieve ultimate success, the very first step in achieving that success is always going to be tazkiyah. Layer one of tazkiyah, to remove shirk and kufr from the heart. Which, subhanAllah, person enters into Islam, declares the shahada, step one, checked off. At least on the grand scale. You know, there's always minor levels of association that we bring into our lives where we begin to attribute things that are really attributable to Allah to other people or other things. For example, you may attribute the cure for your headache to an Advil, but the reality is that the cure for the headache does not come from the Advil, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's always a minor degree to which a person has to purify even themselves from even these minor notions or these subtle notions. But the reality is that the first step of falah arises when a person essentially eliminates everything. All deities are not worthy of worship except Allah. There is nothing worthy of worship except Allah at all of its levels. The second degree of falah, the second layer of falah, of tazkiyah, comes when an individual then eliminates sin. So that's another type of purification, where essentially they say that my heart is pure from shirk, now I need to purify my heart from sin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, I mean, essentially you think about this, if you appreciate that really there's nothing in this world except Allah, just think, this is the most commonsensical thing in the world. There really is nothing except Allah. The only thing that matters is the pleasure of Allah. And the only thing that has any value is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He created me out of nothing, and that He created the entire universe as a mechanism to test me. So of course the natural consequence of that tawheed will be that I cannot do anything to disobey Him. It's actually an expression of that tawheed. So as an expression of that tawheed, the next step is to then obey that Lord. And to obey that Lord, particularly in avoiding His displeasure. So the next layer of tazkiyah essentially arises when a person then eliminates sin. I should not look at this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased if I look at this. I should not speak like this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased if I speak like this. I should not engage in this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased if I engage in this. And Allah is watching me at every single moment with every single breath. It's the ultimate manifestation of tawheed, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even when no one is watching, even when no one will see, even if no one else will remember. So this becomes the second layer of tazkiyah. The third layer of tazkiyah is to then eliminate that which is vile and that which is low, particularly in one's character. So the very final layer of tazkiyah is to essentially perfect one's character. To behave in a way that you recognize and appreciate that every single what is adab, by the way? Adab is the way by which you organize things. Right? Adab is the way by, but essentially let's say this. The third layer is adab. Okay, just bear with me for a second, I'll bring you on the same page. So the third layer is adab. Everybody here who ever has studied in a madrasa or has ever studied Arabic knows that adab, if you say adab to an Arab, they're thinking about literature, right? Adab is literature. Why is literature adab? Because in literature, you organize every word the way it's supposed to be. Yes. I mean, this is what literature is. When you write good literature, it's about organizing words where they should belong. Where does this word go? Where does that word go? Which word should be used here? Which word should be used there in order to create the most effect of what I'm trying to say? So let's say that that same thing applies to manners as well. How do I behave with every opportunity that Allah provided me? Now, this is also eventually predicated upon that tawheed, correct? Because if you appreciate that everything comes from Allah, that every opportunity comes from Allah, that every circumstance comes from Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided me my parents, He has provided me my spouse, He's provided me my teachers, He's provided me my children, He's provided me the masjid, then you begin to respect all of those things and engage with all of those things in a way that's appropriate based on the fact that everything comes from Allah. So this becomes adab. It's all predicated upon that foundational principle of this concept of tawheed and the very, very ultimate initial expression, but it really is just an expression of la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, there is nothing except Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that writes all, provides all, establishes all. If this is if these are my parents, I need to recognize that Allah has provided me with these parents, and I need to behave in a certain way to appreciate those parents. That's adab. I need to recognize that Allah provided me with this masjid. I need to enter this masjid in a certain way. I need to sit in a certain way. I need to respect the others who are here. I need to respect the environment in a certain way. This is adab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided me with my teachers. I need to speak in a certain way. I need to sit before them in a certain way. I need to acknowledge them in a certain way. This is adab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided me with, etc., my spouse. I need to behave in a certain way. I need to honor them and their family in a certain way. I need to interact in a certain way. This is adab. And this is, again, the ultimate manifestation of tawheed, because it means that the flow of tawheed begins to be expressed in everything you do. And that becomes a beautiful symphony. That's essentially the sunnah. The sunnah is just the name of a bunch of circumstances and how we should behave in each of those circumstances. How do you behave with food? How do you behave with friends? How do you behave in the masjid? How do you behave with your family? How do you behave with your neighbor? This is called the sunnah. How do you behave when you make wudu? How do you treat water? This is basically the sunnah. So, but you see that all of this is predicated upon one simple premise, which is la ilaha illallah, which essentially the whole deen summates to this one premise. You could literally wrap the whole deen in la ilaha illallah. You could wrap the whole Qur'an even in la ilaha illallah. It's essentially just the story of la ilaha illallah. So we have to appreciate that tazkiyah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Tazkiyah is the mechanism by which a person achieves success. But that success which is the most meaningful. By the way, I mean, I say this, you know, very specifically for the success of the hereafter, but, you know, you can basically ingrain this as well, and there's ingrained this principle, which is that he who succeeds in the hereafter is also going to succeed in this life. Because that's the benefit of the one who's able to achieve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, that all of the pieces get organized appropriately, everything gets balanced in the right way, everything gets placed where it belongs, and that allows a person to be able to live life in a way that really achieves success in this life and the next. So I could even just argue that I'm providing you, or we're talking about, the ultimate manifestation of success both in this life and, of course, in the hereafter. So this is the first step to achieve success. It's not the only step, but it's the hardest step. So what this requires is for us to look in the mirror. Now, I mean, of course, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us, He made us billionaires in this day and age, 1400 years removed from the actual revelation of the Qur'an and the actual presence, physical, visible presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this planet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still, despite our handicap of time and space, has still provided us with this tawheed, which is honestly the biggest blessing we have. It really is the only thing that defines us. Without it, we would just be like any other animal. But beyond that, we have to reflect that tawheed. It's not just something that you just casually say, I have, and now I move on and I do whatever I want to do. No, it binds you. There's a price. Like they say, you know, with every responsibility, With every blessing comes responsibility. So there's a price that's associated with that. And the price is that when someone gives a gem so pure as Tawheed, that number one, you cannot mix it with anything filthy. You cannot mix it with filth. You cannot go around and say whatever we want to say. We're blasting off, you know, swear word after swear word when we speak. And then after that, we're sitting and saying, SubhanAllah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. These two things don't mix. We're blasting off, backbiting about others, and then we're mixing it with, you know, SubhanakaAllahumma wa bihamdika. We're speaking lies and slandering people, and then trying to mix that with, you know, La ilaha illallah. These two things don't mix. There's a certain responsibility of purity that arises when a person's given this gem of Tawheed. Similarly, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plants in our hearts this Tawheed, we don't have the right to mix it with looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at and engaging in things that we shouldn't engage in. And I don't need to provide a list. I mean, everyone can fill in the blanks, but you know, even all human beings can agree on certain things that people shouldn't be doing. So this blessing of Tawheed, this is the ultimate, you know, you can say it's the ultimate manifestation of how a person achieves success, but it carries with it responsibilities. It carries with it responsibilities. Number one, that we keep it pure and that we honor it. And number two, that beyond honoring it, we appropriately express it by appreciating that really there is nothing except Allah. That there really is nothing except Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls all, that no molecule is present at any moment in the entire history of this existence, except that it is only present where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed it. That degree of power, that degree of control, that degree of exactness, that only belongs to Allah. That every universe, that every molecule in the entire universe, and you know how expansive the universe is, subhanAllah, Allah has made it easier and easier for us to be able to appreciate His power, His vastness, His majesty, just by understanding the world around us. How much understanding has opened up, and it only leads an individual to recognize that this is all in Allah's control. So this is the challenge that all of us face. This is just step one. Next time I'll talk about step two and step three, and then I'll talk about what blocks it. There's one exception that can knock you out of your domain. But anyway, we'll talk about that over time. At this point, the simple premise that I wanted to establish today is that we seek ultimate success. And the nice thing about seeking ultimate success is that if you aim for ultimate success, then all the other successes will fall into place. We don't even have to worry about the rest of the successes. If I honestly were to achieve success in the hereafter, then my other problems in life would all end up successful as well. Meaning I would be able to solve them. If I can solve this one equation, then all the other equations, they automatically solve themselves. You know, sometimes there's a puzzle, you solve it, then everything underneath falls into place. So this is that puzzle. This puzzle of Tawheed. This is that puzzle. That if a person solves it, everything underneath automatically falls into place. So it's really the focus that all of us should have to engage in as much tazkiyah as possible. We should comb our lives and comb our hearts for every single thing that is discordant with this tazkiyah, that tries to displace this, that tries to displace this notion of Tawheed in our hearts, so that we become the ultimate manifestations of La ilaha illallah. So that when somebody engages with us, they are themselves just reminded that there is only one God, only one deity worthy of worship, and that is Allah. So again, that's challenging because number one, you have to remove the things that are discordant with Allah, such as, or with this Tawheed, such as filth. And all sin is essentially filth. And number two, you have to, and in the positive direction, you have to honor every opportunity provided by Allah, recognizing that it's from Allah. How do I start my meal? How do I treat the food that Allah has provided? How do I handle my wealth? How do I handle my time? How do I handle my relationships? These are all part of adab. These are all simply part of adab. And subhanAllah, the beauty of this is that it's all been taught to us by the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So we don't even have to figure this out. You know, we don't have to sit together in committee and we'll conference and everybody will come up with ideas. I'm going to write them on the board. We'll brainstorm and we'll figure out how we're going to best appreciate the blessings that Allah has given us. We don't even have to do that work. It's all done for us. The Prophet ﷺ exemplified it. The companions magnified it and they spread it throughout the earth. And those that followed them have just been subsequently providing example upon example. Even as the times have changed, each of our scholars continuously reflects this notion, even in the environment, the changing environments that we find ourselves. So the work is done, we just have to follow. Nobody has to make a new path. We have a straight path, Sirat al-Mustaqim. It's a wide path. It's a totally level path. It's a path that accommodates everyone in humanity. And it is a path that just goes straight to the destination of ultimate success. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to this path, and that He keep us on this path, and that He make us amongst those who are able to achieve tazkiyah in our hearts and in our souls. Wa akhiru ta'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.